All day long, we do the searching, the editing, the filtering. We find the good stuff, add some opinion, and call it Sportsnet 960 Headlines.
Hour number three is underway. Thank you so much on the text line for interaction. There is a ton of comparables, I guess, when you look at it. And everyone's got, and that's the nice thing, it's subjective, Logan. You might have a different thought to what the most exciting game in the history of sports was for you. Last night in Kansas City was a ton of fun. And overall, one of the best weekends of football that I have ever seen in my life. First time in NFL history, all four games in a playoff weekend were decided in a last-second score. My name is Will Malt. He is Logan Gordon. We kick off Hour 3 like we always do. It's time for another edition of Big Show Headlines, brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Finance or lease a 2021 QX50 and get a no-charge prepaid maintenance from Calgary's original Infinity destination, Heritage Meadows Road, on Luxury Lane. Logan Gordon has got today's headlines. Logan.
Well, of course, we'll start with the Calgary Flames. A game day down at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. And the Flames started the season off pretty good. We'll look at the dividing line and say December 4th. Through their first 24 games, these Flames, 15-4-5, were tied in points with the Toronto Maple Leafs and Florida Panthers for first in the National Hockey League. Since then, they've won three games. They've gone 3-8-1, 1-5 in their past six, and have slipped to ninth in the Western Conference, just 2 points behind eighth place, San Jose. They'll try to right the ship tonight against the St. Louis Blues, a Blues team that's coming off a 3-1 win against the Vancouver Canucks on Sunday. They've won six of their past seven. These teams have a rematch in St. Louis on Thursday. For the Flames, Will, they'll be looking to get back in the win track, on the win track after that loss Saturday night in the Battle of Alberta against the Edmonton Oilers. And head coach Daryl Sutter, speaking to the media today, says, look, we've forgotten about Saturday. We're focused on the Blues tonight.
We play St. Louis, which is a totally different team, and you have to be prepared differently to play them because of the style of game that they played. It's a heavy, hard game that they play, and it's a lot of it is about the one-on-one competition part.
Same lineup for the Flames that fell to the Oilers on Saturday, Will. That means Jacob Markstrom, the starting goaltender. Your lines and pairings the same as we've seen them the last couple of games. Of course, some news and notes around that means Coleman, Mangiapane, Backlund, your D pairings, all the same. A tough St. Louis team. Now, good news for the Flames, Will, like I mentioned, they did play last night, so they're coming off a back-to-back, but you better be prepared. This Blues team presents a much different challenge than the Edmonton Oilers did.
Yeah, and just quickly, a key note tonight as well. Now, Eric Gudbranson playing game number 600 of his career.
Honestly, I knew it was coming up. I didn't know it's today. It's cool. It's a good number. It took me a while to get to that. I've been through, you know, a good number of, you know, relatively serious injuries that have, you know, stopped me from playing games. So, you know, you look back on it and you know, I'm really happy that I'm still around, really happy that I'm feeling good. We have the coolest job in the world. We get to play a game for a living. And you know, after 600 of them, I keep coming back to that, that we're very fortunate to do what we do. So, I'm hopeful I can keep playing as long as I can and keep getting better.
And we've talked a lot about it. I know you mentioned it with Lou earlier, Logan, a team that finally is kind of out of the woods when it came to maybe one, maybe two games a week. No, they're starting to get into a bit of a rhythm, and Elias Lindholm's looking forward to that.
This time here, where you don't know really what's going on. It's kind of frustrating, and obviously you try to do the best out of the situation. But now it's back where you know you're gonna play a lot of games and play pretty much every other day. So it's. It's definitely an exciting time, and especially now we gotta start playing better and get some points.
We've talked a lot about that. No player wants to practice 4 days in a row. You want to play games. They're gonna do a lot of that here in the next 3 months, and it begins tonight against the St. Louis Blues in a much different challenge than the Oilers on Saturday. St. Louis comes in as a big, heavy, hard team, and they're not going to give up a ton. Very similar to Calgary in that respect. You know, they've kind of been right there with Calgary in terms of some of the defensive metrics. And the Blues have won three games in a row. They won last night. So you're playing a team on the second half of a back-to-back, so that's good news for Calgary. And, you know, again, I just think it's important for them to start to find that rhythm, and it'll be nice to play more games at home. I know that's been a big talking point tonight. Home game number 14, season game number 37. So we'll see if playing more frequently is something that this is going to be advantageous for this Flames team. But, yeah, I think you look at Saturday, and there's a lot of good to build off of, but it's now trying to find that, you know, consistent 60-minute game and 60-minute effort to what we saw early in the season. Again, the first period on Saturday was one of the best road periods this team's played in a long time, and certainly we're able to build off of Tuesday's win against Florida, and now we'll see what tonight brings. It's going to be a fun one to watch because it's a whole new challenge and a team that this team has had troubles with in the past. You look at the St. Louis Blues and Flames matchup the last handful of years, has not been a good one for Calgary, so I'm looking forward to this game and seeing what this Flames team's made of, especially after a tough loss Saturday against the Oilers.
6 p.m. Flames warm-up with Pat Steinberg and Peter Loubardias. You don't want to miss it. You got the call from the Dome. Flames back at home tonight. 7 p.m. right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. We'll look at some of the other games across the NHL schedule here on Headlines. Will, you mentioned Eric Goodbranson with a milestone. Well, there's a milestone set to be passed tomorrow. A milestone will be tied today for Philadelphia Flyers defenseman Keith Yandle. He'll play his 964 consecutive regular season game tonight, which ties Doug Jarvis's NHL record when they take on the Flyers tonight at Wells Fargo Center. He will then pass Jarvis tomorrow when the Flyers play against the Islanders at UBS Arena. So he's set to become the NHL's Iron Man, and some cool stats since he started on this streak, Will, by the numbers of his 964 games. That's 25,070 shifts logged, 20,863 minutes of ice time, 2,185 shots on goal, 940 blocked shots, and 572 points, the third most among defensemen in that time. Yandle spoke to the media today and talked about, look, just all the things he's had to go through as he's set to tie Doug Jarvis's record tonight.
Hi, Keith. Congratulations on the achievement. And I was wondering if there was a point, some point where you realized in your streak that something special was going on. And also, was there any point where you played through an injury or an illness that you might not have done so if you didn't have a streak going on?
I don't know. I think, you know, it's kind of the way hockey players are built. You kind of try to play through as much pain as you can. I don't think, especially during the season, I don't think there's many guys that feel 100%. So, you know, there's been some times, obviously, that I've, you know, not felt great. And, you know, it was tough sledding, but, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you just try to battle through it and try to help out your team.
It's been a really down year for the Flyers, Will. They've underachieved on numerous levels, and Yandle just in his first season there, but he'll set a pretty significant NHL record tomorrow and tie it today. Almost 1,000 straight games on this Iron Man streak for Yandle, who plays 964th consecutive regular season game tonight.
Yeah, I think you go back to the offseason, and I was one of those people who was probably in the same opinion and mindset. I mean, Keith Yandle thought he was signing with a playoff contender. It has not been the case in Philadelphia this year. And it's really too bad. You wonder if maybe Yandle's a guy who goes to a playoff contender at the deadline. It wouldn't be the first time he's been traded in a season and still kept a streak going, playing 84 games a few years ago. Pretty remarkable. He was 22 years old when the streak started. He's now 35 and is not missed a game since March 26th, 2009.
It's been a while.
You look at his career log and you go 82, 82, 82, 82. You just don't see that. And it's pretty special. I know the one game that everyone talks about, I believe he was with Arizona at the time, or maybe he was with the Panthers. but he took a puck to the face and lost 8 teeth and played the next game. Pretty insane when you think about what he's gone through to get to this point. And, you know, you thought last year or a couple of years ago it was going to end as Joel Quenneville, the head coach of the Panthers, had publicly talked about how much he was not pleased with the way Yandel was playing and felt like he was not going to play in the next game. And thankfully, that didn't happen. He played the game and actually scored his 100th career goal in said game. And, yeah, I don't think on the ice as a whole for the team, I don't think they, you know, even their captain, Claude Giroux, talked about feeling like they've hit rock bottom. It's not been a good year in Philadelphia. Many thought they were going to do better, myself included. They're dead last in their division. And, you know, at least they've got this to play into, a long losing streak. They've lost 11 in a row, taking on Dallas tonight. And he will play, as you mentioned, in the game-tying streak, 964, and he'll play 965 later this week. So pretty awesome.
Tomorrow night, other NHL matchups tonight. Two of the hottest goal scorers in the league are in action tonight in different games. Well, Alex Ovechkin looks to score 30 goals for the 16th time in his career when the Capitals host the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. That one's a 5 p.m. puck drop. That would be the second most in NHL history, behind only Mike Gardner, who scored 30 goals in 17 of his 19 seasons. He is currently tied with Chris Kreider of the New York Rangers, who are also in action tonight, top of the NHL leaderboard with 29 goals in 42 games. Kreider and the Rangers, like I mentioned, they're in action against the Kings. He scored 8 goals in an NHL career best 5-game goal streak, leads the NHL with 14 power play goals, and has already eclipsed his career high, Will, with 29 in 42, helping the Rangers to be first in the Metropolitan Division entering tonight's action at Madison Square Garden, where the Rangers are 12-2-1 since October 29th. Two guys red hot right now when it comes to scoring goals. Ovi, I think a lot of people expected to be there. Kreider has been red hot lately, Will, and I'm not sure how many people had him vying with Ovechkin midway through the season for the goal lead in the NHL.
Yeah, I didn't have him up there in some of the goal leaders. If you would have asked me at the start of the year, you would have had Matthews, maybe a Draisaitl, Ovechkin, because every year that you put him in that category, it feels like it's pretty safe. I would not have had Kreider there, but he, along with the Rangers, have been one of the best stories in the league this season. Everyone was kind of, I don't know about scratching their head, but certainly had questions or raised their eyebrow at some of the moves made in the offseason. They were trying to get grittier and trying to get more tough to play against. A little sandpaper. Ryan Reeves was a pickup they made in the offseason. And apparently it's all worked, because they are top in the Metropolitan Division, one of the best teams in the NHL. And tonight they play against the LA Kings at home. So it should be a lot of fun. And I would not have picked Kreider to be a guy atop the NHL's goals list.
Another red hot goal scorer, David Pastrnak in the Bruins. They're hosting the Anaheim Ducks tonight at 5 o'clock. Pastrnak has 11 goals in the month of January. That's the fourth time that Pastrnak has scored at least 11 in a calendar month during his NHL career. Other games tonight, Habs at Wild go at 6 o'clock. Montreal has lost 8 of 9. Caden Primo gets the start in goal. Also have the Blackhawks in Colorado for a 7 p.m. puck drop from Ball Arena, where the Avalanche have won 15 games in a row, Will. Chicago has 15 wins on the season. Yikes. That's not going to go well. So that's your NHL schedule for tonight. Do have some off-ice news to get to just west of us in Vancouver. The Canucks have hired player agent and former NCAA forward Emil Castonguay as their new assistant general manager. She is the noted player agent for such players such as New York Rangers winger and 2020 first overall pick Alexei Lafreniere and Canadian star Marie-Philippe Poulin, the new Canucks executive, the first female assistant GM in franchise history. She also became the NHLPA's first female certified agent back in 2016. Now, Will, she's not. There was a bit of confusion about this earlier. She's not the first female assistant GM in NHL history. That, of course, belongs to Angela Gorgon, who was hired as a Ducks assistant GM back in 1996. But she spoke to the media today after the announcement was made and just talked about the process and the decision to join Jim Rutherford's staff.
Hi, Emily. I imagine you have had other offers or at least other interests from other teams. Why Vancouver and why this position is right for you now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, from the first conversation I've had with Jim Rutherford, you know, I just felt like I believed in his vision. I believed in what, you know, the Aquilini family and management wanted to do. They wanted to build a team that was diverse, that had different opinions, and that could bring different things to the table. I was really, you know, impressed by everything that they wanted to do, and obviously bought into it. And, you know, Vancouver for me is just, you know, personally, I have a very strong relationship with the city of Vancouver for different reasons, which I won't get into right now. But personally, it's just always been a place where I wanted to be and where I wanted to live. I actually have a, you know, small snippet here. I have a vision board at home that I've had for over 5-6 years. And on it, I had written a certain age, and then I had written Vancouver beside it. You know, just because I wanted to be in Vancouver at that point in my life. And I didn't know how I was going to get there or how it was going to happen. But I turned that age in about a month and a half. So it's always been kind of in the back of my mind and on my vision board. And, you know, whether it was as an agent or, you know, as working for the NHL, I didn't know how I was going to be there, but it's pretty awesome that it worked out that way. So for me, Vancouver was a no-brainer. I feel they have, you know, a great young team that is hungry to win. And I'm just really happy to be part of their journey now.
So we've heard lots of rumors back and forth, Will, about who might be joining Jim Rutherford there in Vancouver to make up some of that hockey off staff that they cleaned house on a while ago. It's a historic move for the franchise, bringing in a female assistant general manager, but Castonguay brings a ton of experience, and we're seeing more and more player agents getting involved in hockey front offices. She continues that trend today.
Yeah, that's exactly the direction I was going to go. She talked a lot about culture in her press conference today, and talked about wanting to build, you know, a winning type atmosphere in Vancouver, or at least be a part of building that. And I think that's important to note. We saw it obviously with Kent Hughes in Montreal last week when he was hired as their GM. I think player agents bring that different angle. They know exactly what players want, what makes players happy. And I think that can be a good angle to, or a good voice to have in the front office. So this is obviously an amazing day for the sport of hockey, for the Vancouver Canucks. And, you know, hopefully we're not too far away from not even mentioning that she's the second woman ever to have this position. You know, maybe it's just going to, you know, hopefully we get to a point where that doesn't even matter, because it's very obviously understood that she's more than qualified. I just think having the angle of someone who's been a player agent and has represented people in the NHL, I think that is a massive, massive key to some of these hires. And I think it's going to be one that pays off for the Vancouver Canucks and their front office, especially as they don't rebuild, Logan, but I think they're trying to look at ways that they can maybe pivot here on the fly, because it's very clear this season has fell below expectations. They've made changes in the front office and behind the bench. And I think she's going to be a big part of trying to build the right pieces or put the right pieces in the right spots in Vancouver. And as an agent, as I say, you know what makes a player happy. So I think that's very important to have.
Let's move on to the CFL, Will, where we've been talking most of the last week or so about important re-signings around the league before free agency kicks off in February. And we do have a couple of those to get to, but we had breaking news about half an hour ago from the BC Lions. How about this? After 11 seasons and 2 Grey Cup championships, Michael Riley is hanging up the cleats at age 36, suiting up in 168 career games, including 69 with the Lions starting from 2010 and ending with his return to his first CFL team in 2019 to 2021. He won his first Grey Cup ring with the squad in 2011. Riley passed for 7,876 yards on 652 completions with 38 touchdown passes as a Lion. His career passing yards good for 14th on the all-time CFL list at 34,805. He was a league MOP, led the CFL in passing on four occasions, and became only the third quarterback in CFL history to surpass the 5,000-yard mark in three consecutive seasons, joining Doug Flutie and Anthony Calvillo as the other two that accomplished that feat during their career. Will, an All-Star in 2017, West Division All-Star in 2016-17, and a two-time CFL Top Performer of the Month. A long list of accolades for Mike O'Reilly, who ends his CFL career and retires at the age of 36 today. Big changes for the Lions heading into free agency now.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, it's nice to get this announcement before free agency starts, as you get a better idea as to maybe what your team needs. A great career. Obviously, we just talked, funny enough, about Ironman streaks with Keith Yandel. When I think tough CFL quarterbacks, Riley's probably at the top of that list. Some of the big hits he took and, you know, continued to play and didn't miss many contests, certainly not over the last handful of years. And the unfortunate thing for him, the last couple of years, Logan, especially in his second tenure in BC, it was very clear to me that his best days were behind him. And, you know, it's hard to play quarterback at that age, and we've seen other guys be able to do it. But, you know, for that guy to take as many tough hits as he did, especially those last 3 years in Edmonton where he was really, you know, the face of that franchise and a guy who threw the football a ton. Like, we're talking over 620 attempts in each of those three seasons, over 5,500 yards in each of those three seasons. He threw the ball a lot, and I think it took a toll on his body. Over time, you knew that at some point those hits were going to, you know, come to the surface and really show their effects on his body and his arm. And I think we saw some of that, especially this year in BC. And I know the team hasn't been great, so that hasn't helped. He hasn't had a great offensive line in front of him. But it kind of felt like this was coming. And for the BC Lions, I think it's nice that they get this announcement and they can really kind of start a new era in BC. And I'll be curious to see who ends up as their starting quarterback. And I know there's a couple of names out there in free agency. We talked a little bit about Chris Streveler. Is he going to come back to the CFL? Is BC somewhere that he identifies as somewhere he wants to go back? Is Trevor Harris going to go to BC? A lot of questions. Is Jeremiah Masoli going to be the BC Lions quarterback? There's a lot of questions, but certainly no lack of options if you're BC. So kudos to Mike O'Reilly for a heck of a career. And obviously us in Calgary remember him for a long time. And, you know, those battles with Edmonton and, you know, the Grey Cup victory he had in 2015 with Chris Jones, a great career. And I've talked to him probably a handful of times. One of the best interviews ever.
Yeah, one of the guys that was always kind enough to give us some time 100%. Here in Calgary.
And you know, we'd be like 20, games. 24 minutes. He'd be like, yeah, no problem, guys. It's all good. It's all good. He knew how important that was for the game. And I don't know if that opportunity is there for him or if he's got any interest. But if he wanted to, would be an unbelievable analyst going forward if that's the path he chooses post-career.
Just finishing up on headlines, mentioned some other re-signings across the league. Stampeders just continue to build ahead of free agency. Well, another offensive lineman, Zach Williams, signs a contract extension. He was eligible to be a free agent. Played 14 games for the Stampeders, including 13 starts at left guard, and started in the West semifinal. So that goes along with Sevier, McEwen, and Derek Dennis on the offensive line that the Stamps have wrapped up before free agency. And up the road in Edmonton, James Wilder Jr., a one-year extension with the Edmonton Elks. So he'll stay in the green and gold under Chris Jones for next season. That your edition of headlines.
4 of 5 starting offensive linemen back for the Stampeders, plus Derek Dennis. Yeah, things are
going to try to get you Combray back, probably.
Yeah, so try to make it 5 for 5. Things are in pretty good shape when it comes to the Stampeders and their offensive line. A reminder, CFL free agency will open on February 9th. Thank you to Logan. That's today's headlines brought to you by Hyatt Infinity, offering winter tire swaps from just $59.95. Book your appointment now at Calgary's original Infinity destination, Heritage Meadows Road, and Luxury on Luxury Lane. And I promise you, Logan's not dying if you can hear him in the background with his cough. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will focus in on a crazy weekend and some unfortunate news that I think needs to be shared on the air today and get our thoughts around the corner as we close out and get a special eye on the Flames and Blues. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Now, back to the Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
When you look at where we're at in the standings, it's, you know, we're not in the playoff spot currently. So, you know, until you set yourself up and start pushing the teams that are in your division down and propelling yourself upwards, they're all must wins, no matter what the circumstances are.
It's Eric Goodbranson, Flames defenseman, going to play in career game at number 600 tonight. Flames and Blues from the Scotiabank Saddledome. 6 p.m. Flames warm-up for Mr. Fireplace. 7 p.m. puck drop. Wills, Labardius, and Steinberg will take you through every single moment. And coming up at the top of the hour, a full, I guess, what, three-hour pregame? Because Flames talk takes things over at 4 o'clock until 6. And then Flames warm up. Steinberg and Rosie coming up at the top of the hour. And they've got Derek Wills on the program today and a check-in, as they do every Monday, with the AHL's Stockton Heat. And Mitch Love, their head coach, will join the program at 5 p.m. this evening. He is Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault. This is The Big Show. It's all coming to you live from the Iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio, where they treat every employee like family. An Iconic family, apply to join the team at iconicec.ca/careers. Lots of talk coming into this game, Logan, about the Flames playing their team game and finding their team game. Here is Elias Lindholm on the mindset of the team coming into tonight.
We're playing a really good team, score a lot of goals. So for us to tighten up defensively, give them no room, and be a five-man unit all over the ice. It's going to be key for us.
They've won three in a row. They've won eight of their past 10, have the St. Louis Blues. And you just heard Lindholm talk about it. Their team who scores a lot of goals. Logan, this team's, I guess, Achilles heel or issue the last month and change has been team defense. And the Flames, that team defense going to be challenged tonight against the St. Louis Blues. They scored three yesterday in Vancouver, but the three games before that, averaging five goals per game. They scored 18 their past four. So that's a big focus going into tonight for me. But how do the Flames knock off the Blues in your eyes?
Well, I think it's cliche, but it's getting back to that team defense that we saw against Florida last week, almost a week ago, back on the 18th. And you can look at it and say, you know, the month of January really, well, when you look at it, the calendar view gives you a pretty good idea of where things have gone wrong for the Flames. In losses to Florida, Tampa Bay, Carolina, Ottawa, and Edmonton, they've let in at least four goals in those games. A couple of times they let in six. One time they let in five. That's not good for this team. That's not the way that this team is going to win hockey games. And I'm not saying you have to give up one or zero every night. I'm not, like, that's an unrealistic belief that you have to be that tight defensively. But look at the games where this team's had success. Well, you can't tell me it hasn't come from them being dialed in on the defensive zone and making their opponent work for their chances and then getting in on the forecheck on the other end and, you know, working for their chances offensively. I think that's where they've been successful all year long, not just this month in that, you know, snapshot of what's been a long month and games in between, but go back to October and November when they were really successful. That's the type of game that they played. And I think that that's going to lead to more of those 3-2 games, those 3-1 games. How many times did Daryl say, you know, that's the kind of game that they have to win because they just don't have the offensive firepower to score six or seven every night. That's just not going to happen. Part of it, I think, is going to be on Jacob Markstrom to be better, but the team in front of him needs to commit to that sort of game because I don't care who the opponent is, and it's a very good one tonight. It's a very deep one tonight, Will, that as good a three lines as I've seen on an NHL team this year, if you don't pay attention to your team defense on a shift-by-shift basis, you're gonna get burned, and you're going to get burned for three or four. And then I don't like your odds of coming back in those type of games. So it's almost too simple when you lay it out like that, that, you know, look, be good defensively first and the offense will come. But I can't help but feel like that's the strategy that this team has to employ.
It is, and I know Lou's talked a lot about it. You and I have talked about it. This is a team that has a lot of success when they limit their opponents to under three goals. And it's not to say, and I said this coming into the year, and I know that I've certainly eaten some crow on it, but this is not a team that's going to be an offensive powerhouse. And I think we've seen that the last little bit here. It's been a bit of a regression to what I think we all expected the Flames to be, certainly what I expected them to be, and that was competitive, but maybe not a team that is a powerhouse like we saw in the first 25 or 20 games of the season. I think they're a middling team, and when you're a middling team, you've got to be able to limit your opponent because you don't have, and we talked about that, Lou, with Lou on you know, the first hour of the program today, reflecting back to Saturday. When that game's 3-3, which team has talent that you're more confident in can take over the game? It's Edmonton. Now, not everybody's got a McDavid and Draisaitl, but you've got to be able to buckle up and be able to take things over as a team. And that's when Calgary had a lot of success early in the year. And this team is obviously very successful when playing with the lead. And that wasn't the case Saturday. They had the lead at 2-0 and blew it. But hey, that's what they've got to do when you're playing a team like St. Louis, who probably is better than you, 1-12 with forwards, certainly 1-6 with defense. And, you know, goaltenders, I think, are obviously a huge X factor. And Ville Husso and Jordan Binnington have been pretty good this year for the St. Louis Blues, Husso in particular. And it's not to say that Vladar and Markstrom have been bad, because they've been a big story here in Calgary as well. So I think it's important for this team to try and find a lead early and play with it. And if you can do that, I think you're in a better spot to play better team defense as well, because you're focused more in it on as opposed to chasing a game. And when you're chasing, especially if you're Calgary, and I think Daryl Sutter would tell you this, when you're chasing a game, if you're a team like Calgary, it's when you get away from your defensive structure, and we've seen that.
And I don't doubt that it's a hard message to sell. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't feel like any time in Johnny Gaudreau's career, and I'm just using him as an example, because he's been above reproach when you bring this subject up. But how many times do you think a coach has gone to Johnny Gaudreau and said, Johnny, the thing I need you to focus on and the thing that I need you to be dialed in on tonight and every night is defense? There's probably not a lot of coaches in his career who have had that mindset with him and have had that with the entire team, right? It's probably been like, look, Johnny, I know we're going to be, you know, pushing it offensively. I want you to get the shots on goal as much as you can, you know, drive us offensively, lead us that way. I'm sure for Johnny and for a lot of these guys, it's a new way of doing things. It's a new approach to playing hockey, and that you have to buy into what I guess I don't know if I'd classify it, Will, as, you know, the not as fun aspect. I'm sure goal scoring and, you know, hearing the horn go off and the excitement of those and the stats that go along with it are much more appealing to players than being a strong defensive guy. But I still think it's important, and I think it's a message that maybe is a little bit harder to get along and to get through to guys than saying, look, we're going to be a high-flying offensive team that's going to come at you in waves, when Daryl Sutter and this group know they can't play that way. So you got to sell it to them a different way, and you got to sell defense first. I just think it's a hard message to get through. And as Lou and other people have said, maybe it's just a reminder sometimes that we weren't as far ahead as maybe we thought we were with this group earlier on. That's not a bad thing. Just because you're not, you know, a first in the West or leading the Pacific Division type of team doesn't mean you're a bad team. You still have work to do, but that's not the end of the world, and they can still get there. There's still a ton of time left. I keep reminding myself of this, Will, and I'm sure you've had to too. We're almost at February, but as far as an NHL calendar is concerned and how many games this team is actually playing, we're not actually near that point yet. We're really back in December, early December, as far as how many games have been played by this time. Talk to me in a month when they've actually played a month full of a schedule and had, you know, consistent games and a normal schedule, and I think you can tell me a little bit more about what this team actually is. But I think for now, they have to start this stretch off today. And it's a busy week this week.
Mm-hmm.
There's some tough opponents in there. You see this Blues team twice. Where are you? Where are you as a team? Where's your mindset as a team? Are you going to buy into it and just let Saturday be a blip on the radar and move on from it? Or do you still have more work to do?
Before we hand things over to Flames Talk, I mentioned it before the break. There was one incident over the weekend that was extremely disturbing and really just hurts you to see. And it sucks that we still have these incidents that come up. But there was a racial incident in an ECHL game over the weekend as Jacksonville Iceman forward Jacob Panetta with a apparent racist act and gesture towards Jordan Subban of the South Carolina Stingrays. And since then, Jacob Panetta is suspended by the ECHL. He's been cut from the team of the Icemen. And lots have spoken out about it, including Jordan's older brother, PK Subban. It sucks that we still have these moments happen in games. It still tells you that we've got a long way to go as a society. Lots of steps have been made. But I saw this over the weekend, too, and I completely agree. If the NHL truly wants to live by their slogan that hockey is for everybody, then they still need to make some changes. And because right now it's certainly at times does not feel like hockey is for everybody. So, disturbing. And you just want to get to a point, like I just talked about with Emil in Vancouver. You want to get to a point, Logan, where these are not stories we're talking about.
It's frustrating. It really is to have seen the incident that happened with Subban, and now in the AHL we had a racial slur used, I believe a week ago, that led to a 30-game suspension. It's frustrating, man. Like, how do you, as a person of color, you know, want to get involved in hockey or in any aspect of it when you keep seeing these sort of things happen and you keep hearing guys like Akeem Alou or Jordan Subban or, you know, any other person of color who plays the game that goes, you know what, yeah, I've had to go through this and we've all had to deal with it and it's disappointing, but we have to get this out of the game. I mean, you can't sit there and tell me that it's an inclusive environment when these sort of things still happen. And yeah, maybe it's a one bad apple, but that's one too many when it comes to this sort of thing. It's such an antiquated and useless frame of thought to me, Will. You know, that sort of attitude towards someone of color. It's out of date. It's out of context. It's out of class. It's just something that should have been done away with a very long time ago. And I hope that it's not just empty words from the NHL and from these other leagues that want to back this sort of initiative up that you mentioned, that hockey is for everybody. Because I think that's the only way that we're really going to get through to it, is that these sort of things aren't tolerated in any way, shape, or form. And that these players feel like if something like that does happen, they're going to be protected and they're going to have the backs of their leagues and their owners, so on and so forth. So, yeah, fingers crossed we don't have to be dealing with any more of these in the future.
He is Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault. Reminder, if you're up later on tonight or you're watching the Flames, you want to flip back and forth, looking forward to this, as I'll be dialed in for sure. Denis Shapovalov and Rafa Nadal head-to-head in a quarterfinal match at the Aussie Open. That begins at 8 p.m. Calgary time.
So Shapovalov.
Live from Rod Laver Arena, too. So it's right back at the same place. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hand things over to the fellas at Flames Talk. Steinberg and our pal Matty Rose will get you set for the Flames and the Blues. All coming up on Flames Talk, top of the hour, right here, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.